Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 42. And purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O Lord, for the residential purposes of all inhabitants, both moving and non-moving, this earth is your wife. And you are the Supreme Father. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, along with Mother Earth, in whom you have invested your potency, just as an expert sacrificer puts fire in the arani wood. Purport. The so-called law of gravitation which sustains the planets is described herein as the potency of the Lord. This potency is invested by the Lord in the way that an expert sacrificial brahmana puts fire in the arani wood by the potency of Vedic mantras. By this arrangement, the world becomes habitable for both the moving and non-moving creatures. The conditioned souls who are residents of the material world are put in the womb of Mother Earth in the same way the seed of a child is put by the father in the womb of the mother. This conception of the Lord and the earth as father and mother is explained in Bhagavad Gita 14.4. Conditioned souls are devoted to the motherland in which they take their birth, but they do not know their father. The mother is not independent in producing children. Similarly, material nature cannot produce living creatures unless in contact with the Supreme Father. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us to offer obeisances unto the Mother along with the Father, the Supreme Lord, because it is the Father only who impregnates the Mother with all energies for the sustenance and maintenance of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Translation. O Lord, for the residential purposes of all inhabitants, both moving and non-moving, this earth is your wife. And you are the Supreme Father. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, along with Mother Earth, in whom you have invested your potency, just as an expert sacrificer puts fire in the arani wood. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinadarinam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, in this verse, the fatherhood is being described, and the motherhood as well. So it's said that, and we know that Krishna is the Supreme Father. He is the father of every living entity. I think on Sunday it was Father's Day, on Janmashtami. So Sunday was Father's Day and people were celebrating, you know, Father's Day. And they were visiting their maybe grandfather or their immediate father. And they were glorifying them and celebrating the appearance of their father and how their father has contributed to their lives in so many ways, and they were expressing the gratitude. But our real father, our biological fathers are temporary fathers, and they are not our real fathers. Our real father is God, is Krishna. We know the pastime of, what's that pastime? Is it Chitraketu? Who had a son whose name was Harshasoka. So, was it Chitraketu? Yeah. So Maharaj Chitraketu, he was very anxious to have a son. He tried to have a son and he was very anxious, but he was not successful. So he married, he had so many queens, and he kept trying, but it didn't happen for him. And then he became very depressed. And I believe Was it Narada Muni? Narada Muni came. Was it Narada Muni or?
Narada,
yeah. Thank you. So he told him the cause of his lamentation, and Narada Muni said, okay, I'll bestow you a benediction, and you'll have a son who will be the cause of your happiness, and he'll be the cause of your distress. And hence he was named Harsha Shauka, you know, distress and happiness, happiness and distress. So anyway, his son was born, and so the king was very overjoyed. He had a son, and especially because he was a king, he needed a son so he could hand over the kingdom to, and not only that, someone who could also perform pinda. So back in the day, pinda was performed so to free oneself from hellish situations, because as in the course of life, inevitably we perform some sinful activity, knowingly or unknowingly. So to overcome all that, the son would perform sacrifices, and that way the forefathers, they would be freed, and they could get a body as well. So for various reasons, he wanted a son, and especially fathers, they're very overjoyed if they have a son. We even see that. So he wanted a son. Then he was given the benediction, and he had a son. But then, because only one queen had a son, all the others didn't have, so they became envious. The other ladies, they became envious, and all the attention, Chitraketu Maharaj was giving attention to one particular wife, because she begot the son. So she became the object of affection. She was the special one. And the others became envious. And they became so envious to the extent that they decided to kill that child. They decided to kill Harsha Shauka. So they had a plot. And did they poison him? So they poisoned him somehow or the other. And he died. So when he died, first of all, the queen found out, and then she made a lot of noise, and the king came, and there was great lamentation. It was described that Maharaj Chitraketu, he was lamenting, and the queen was lamenting, and everyone else, the whole kingdom was lamenting. And at that point, when they were lamenting, Narada Muni came there. So, and by his potency, that child was brought back to life. And then that Harsha Shauka, who had just died, he came back to life, and he gave the king very valuable lessons. He said that, you're not my only father. I've had so many fathers in so many lifetimes. And in this way, Harsha Shauka, Maharaj Chitraketu, he got lessons in self-realization, and his lamentation went away. And he understood that he's not the only father, and his lamentation was unnecessary because it was just based on the body. So the same point is being made here, that people have forgotten their real father, and Sunday was Father's Day. Father's Day was being celebrated. But here in this temple, and all over the world in so many other temples, the real Father's Day was being celebrated, which is Krishna's appearance. So all devotees were expressing their gratitude, and they were not only expressing their gratitude, but they were even celebrating Krishna's appearance by remembering his pastimes, and by glorifying his names, and by engaging in so much devotional service, so much selfless devotional service. We could see on Janmashtami, this time we had two Janmashtamis, more or less. Saturday was more busy than Sunday, because in India, Saturday was Janmashtami. So on the weekend, it was very inspiring to see that so many devotees were engaging in very selfless service. And I can see there's a tradition here now. Devotees have been doing certain services for years, and they just automatically come and do that service. So and others also chip in. So in this way, real Father's Day was being celebrated. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, that he is the real father, as is quoted here in this verse, in the 14.4. Sarva yonusha kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiha tasad brahma mahadyoni aham bija pradapitaha. Where Krishna says that, I am aham bija pradapitaha, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. That the birth of all living entities is possible, is made possible by material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So he very clearly says that, I am the seed-giving father. And in the previous verse, he says, So in the previous verse, he says, Mama yonir mahat brahma tasmin garbam tadhami aham sambhava sarva bhutanam tato bhavati bharata. He says, the total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the birth of all living beings, O son of Bharata. So again, he says that it is that Brahman which she impregnates. So the material nature is the mother, and Krishna is the father, and that's how we come into being. And there's so many similarities in this material world, and the most obvious is we have a biological father and a mother. So the father impregnates the mother by seminal injection, and that's how we take birth. You know, it's not this, the mother one day decides to have a kid, and then just because she desired, then suddenly we appear in the womb, and then we come out. It's not like that. But there has to be a father. Without a father, we cannot take birth. So there has to be a father and there has to be a mother. It cannot only be a father. Because of a father, then there is procreation. It doesn't work like that. So there has to be a father and mother. And we see this is common to all species of life, not only the humans. But these days they're saying, you know, we can produce a living entity. Few terms they have.
IVF.
Yeah, thank you. IVF and... they're saying now we are producing clones. Like Dolly the sheep was the first clone they produced, they said. But even in that, even if you take that argument, but they still take the gene from a male, right? Or the semen. The gene they take from the male, and then from the female, the surrogate. In the surrogate, they put the gene. I can't remember how exactly it is. One time I had read about it, but at this point I forgot. But the principle is that there is a male and a female. And where did they come from? So even if we take the argument, okay, there's a surrogate mother and they impregnated that, but through cloning technology. But still, there was a male sheep, right? And there's a female sheep. And what they're simply doing is they're taking the elements, they're taking the from the male, they're taking the semen and they're putting it in the female, in which the right conditions are there. So they're just creating the right conditions, and they're putting the semen there or the genes there. But they're not creating life. As Prabhupada said, life comes from life. We cannot create life. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, what's that verse? 7.5, how does it start? Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham mano buddhi revacha ankariti ame prakriti. And the next one is, who remembers that verse? Aprayam itasamanyam prakritim buddhi me param jiva bhutam maha Dharyam jagat. Sorry, jiva bhuta mahabhav yedam dharayate jagat. So Krishna says that besides these, referring to the previous verse he just spoke about, which is the eight elements. Besides these, there's another superior energy of mine, which comprises a living entity who is exploiting the resources of material nature. So besides the material elements, there's another element, which is the superior energy, which is the living entity, which is us. So there is Prakriti and there is Purusha. So Purusha has Prakriti. So from Krishna, the energetic comes the energy. So this energy is of two types. One is the material energy, para and apara, with the material and the spiritual energy, the inferior and the superior energy. So the energy is always female, and the energetic is male. So Krishna is the supreme male, and all the energies are female. So we are also the energy. So some of us are in male bodies through Prakriti, meaning material nature, we are awarded different bodies. Some are awarded bodies of a male, some are awarded bodies of a female. And in male and female in different species, right? Whether on this planet or on some other planet. So these male and female species are there. Bodies are there. But ultimately, they all are female. Even if you just take the bodies, they're also female because that is energy. That is the material energy. And then if we take the spiritual, if we take the spirit soul, that is also female. And so the Prakriti is meant to be enjoyed by the Purush. And if we even just take in traditionally, of course this is not so relevant today, and people might not be able to relate to it, but Prabhupada, he mentions in one of his purports in the Bhagavad Gita that the female is meant to be enjoyed by the male, or a female is meant to give pleasure to the male. Along those lines is written, something like that. So we all are female, we all are Prakriti, and we are meant to give pleasure to the supreme male, who is Krishna. That is our constitutional position. So our constitutional position is one of rendering service to the supreme whole, Krishna. But because we are thinking we are Purush, therefore we are put in the material world to suffer. So material world is a place where we all can think we are Purush, whether one is female or one is male. Both are thinking they are Purusha. Doesn't matter. And each is trying to be a Purusha in their own way. So in the material world, just because we are in a male body doesn't mean we are Purusha. If you are married, you'll understand you are not Purusha. So we all are Prakriti. We are simply servants. We are not the Purushas, but we are thinking like that. And because we are thinking like that, then we have to undergo the threefold miseries and we have to undergo suffering. But our real position is we are the Prakriti, meant to be engaged in Krishna service. So that's what our life is meant for. And Krishna even says in the Bhagavad Gita, a few other places, he says, Pitaham asya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha, vedyam pavitram omkara, riksama yajur evacha. So Krishna says, I am the father of this universe, the mother, the supporter, dhata, the supporter, and the grandsire. So he says in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am the father of this universe, the mother, the supporter, and the grandsire. So Krishna, he claims to be the father of this universe. So today, People have ignored the father. Not only the father, they even forgetting the mother. it's a common saying, Mother Earth, right? Mother Earth. But if we look at human society, they're not acting in that way. They're not even acknowledging the mother, what to speak of acknowledging the father. So today the Mother Earth is being trashed, is being raped more or less in the form of exploitation. So much resources are being taken, mining, so all this oil is being taken. So much, there's so much consumerism and unlimited growth, production, consumption, and that results in unlimited wastage. And that wastage, mankind doesn't know how to deal with it. So they're polluting the earth. So if they really know that earth is the mother, then they will look after it. They'll take steps to, you know, change the economy, because the economic model is based on more or less destruction. And consumption means destruction. So they would change that, but because that conception is not there of Mother Earth. Through Shastra, we understand we have seven mothers, right? There's the Mother Earth, Mother Cow, the biological mother. There's the mother of the wife of the Brahmana, wife of the king, and wife of the spiritual master. So these are the seven mothers. So Earth is one of the seven mothers. So the mother is meant to be respected and also protected, because she gives birth to us. Sarva Kama, what's that? Sarva Kama. No. Sarva Kama Dughi, there's a Dugha Mahi. That Mother Earth is the source of everything. You know, whatever we are using is because of Mother Earth. Our sustenance is based on the earth, right? Even in India, they say Bharat Maha. And in the army, to to motivate the soldiers, they'll tell them, you know, Bharat Maha ki jai, you know. They fight for Mother Earth. And that's the way they'll, you know, rev them up, so they can fight for their for a materialistic cause. But they bring, you know, Mother Earth in the equation. And then all the jawans, the soldiers, they get very passionate and they, you know, they make sacrifices, supreme sacrifices. And Mother Earth is also sometimes symbolized by the cow. We see even in the pastime of Maharaj Parikshit, when he was touring his kingdom to see, just inspecting his kingdom. And there, Mother Earth, she took the form of a cow. And she was being beaten by this Shudra, who was posing as a king. And she was standing on one leg. And then the bull was also standing on one leg. So sometimes the earth is symbolized as the cow. And even just before Krishna's advent, Bhumi, she was very distressed because of the influence of so many demoniac kings who were walking on her surface. So she was very distressed, and all these kings were engaging in sinful activities and demoniac activities. So she was very distressed, and she took the shape of a cow and she approached Lord Brahma along with all the demigods for a solution. And then Lord Brahma, he didn't have a solution, so they went to Lord Vishnu, and they recited the Purushashukta prayers to draw his attention and ask for benedictions. So we see sometimes the earth takes the shape of a cow, because cow is also one of the mothers. But wherever there's a mother, there has to be a father. I mean, these days mothers and fathers are living separately. A lot in contemporary society. It's very rare to find that a father and mother are together, and the child is also there in a nuclear family. That's very rare. That's these days, either, you know, children, they have one parent, and they take turns to spend time with their mom or dad. And sometimes they have, that's how it is. But there is, wherever there's a mother, there has to be a father. And Krishna, he's the supreme father. Because mankind has not acknowledged the father, therefore there's so many problems. So the atheism is a result of not acknowledging the supreme father. So some scientists, atheists, they say, okay, we are just a product of matter. In other words, they're saying we just come out from the mother. But that's not possible. Prabhupada gives the example of a scorpion. A scorpion lays its eggs in rice, right? And to a common person, what they'll see is, like, from the rice, you know, this baby scorpion is coming. The eggs were there, and now the scorpion is coming. So they'll say, look, the rice is the cause of the scorpion. So saying that, similarly, it is as foolish to say that, you know, we are products of matter. So if somebody says, you know, the scorpion came out of the rice, there was a pile of rice, and then suddenly, or sometimes we see that from the earth, different living entities, they take birth. Or like a bird has made a nest, and she has laid eggs there, and the bird is not there. Then one day, you know, the eggs, they hatch, and all these birdlings, they come out and say, look, the nest is the cause of the bird. So that is, we'll say that's foolish. So, similarly, the scientists are saying that nature is the cause of living entities. And Krishna, he describes this materialistic thinking in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Divine and Demoniac Natures. So where he describes this atheistic consciousness or mentality of people, where they think that we are simply a product of matter, and our life is at most happens by chance, right? By combination of various chemicals. But we all know that we are much more than some chemicals. Our worth is more than chemicals. But because there's no acknowledgement of the father, therefore there is so much exploitation. If people, they acknowledge that there is a father, that Krishna is the God, is the father of everything, then they will surrender to that God. But because they dismiss God, because once the father is dismissed, or once the proprietor is dismissed, then one can exploit the resources. You know, like wherever we, you know, generally wherever we go, we know there's some form of management there. There's some form of management taking place. If you go to any establishment, you know there is some form of management in place, and therefore we respect the rules and we don't, we just don't do whatever we want to do, right? If you go to somebody's house, you know there is some form of management. Someone's in charge there. Someone's the owner here. So you just can't do whatever you want to do, whether on a personal level, or on an organizational level, or even on a societal level. There is management around. Like, you just can't go on the street and do whatever you want to do. You know, the council will come and talk to you. The cops might come, or the Department of Justice will come. You just can't do, you know, whatever you want to do. Soon you'll figure out that somebody's in charge here. So in the same way, not in the same way, but mankind has rejected God, the Father, and then they think we can do whatever we want to do. But if they understand there is God here, and they'll understand that everything belongs to God, the energy that this earth is the mother, is the wife, as is mentioned here, is the wife. Therefore we cannot, wife meaning our mother. So we cannot do whatever we want to do. So because of neglecting the presence of the Supreme Lord, there is so much exploitation of fellow human beings, of fellow living entities, you know, animals, plants. There's wide-scale slaughter. Because if we understand, as Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita, I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities, then all living entities are the sons of Krishna. So Krishna will not be happy if any one of his sons is mistreated. Right? A father is not happy if any one of his children are mistreated by the other children. So in the same way, Krishna is not pleased if certain living entities are exploited. So because the father is rejected, then we see there is wide-scale slaughter of animals, exploitation of the earth. The earth is being polluted and raped. Not only animals, but human beings are being exploited. What to speak of other living entities? Human beings are not spared. So in this way, there is rampant exploitation because people don't understand that there is God, there is the Father, who is the controller, the proprietor, and the enjoyer. So even this basic knowledge is lacking. What to speak of much advanced knowledge, where Krishna has so many wives, then that's just on another level. Even on a lower level, they don't understand that there is God and God has energies, and both are connected, and the energy belongs to the energetic. But on the higher levels, we see in Krishna's pastimes, he has so many consorts. He has relationship with the gopis, and he has so many queens as well. You know, he's married to so many queens in Dwarka. 16,108. So Srimati Radharani is gives pleasure to the Lord. She's the energy of the Lord. She's the pleasure potency of the Lord. And all these other queens and gopis, they expand from her. And they all give Krishna pleasure in various ways. So this level of understanding is very difficult for people to come to unless they understand, unless they have a basic understanding. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he stressed a lot on understanding the tattva, not just simply going into the pastimes. Otherwise we'll become a sahajya. And Srila Prabhupada said, one should not go to the 10th canto straight away. One should make a systematic study and progressively go through the first 9 cantos, where we will understand the tattva of Krishna. We'll understand who we are, the different incarnations, and then finally come to Krishna. Because Krishna is most difficult to understand. Of all the incarnations, Krishna is the most difficult to understand because he has a human-like form. And because he has a human-like form and he engages in what seems to be human-like activities, so then people get confused by that. So they say, okay, you know, how can Krishna be God? He has so many wives. He's engaging in adultery. How can he be God? But other incarnations are a little more easier to understand because there's a lot of display of awe and reverence. Whereas with Krishna, that awe and reverence is there, but also there is a lot of sweetness in his pastimes. And sometimes it's difficult for people to understand that. Krishna's pastimes are a little more difficult to understand. We even see Lord Brahma, he became bewildered by Krishna's pastimes. Indra, of course this is Leela. Indra, he mistook Krishna to be an ordinary person. And Brahma, he also mistook Krishna to be an ordinary boy. And he stole the calves and cowherd boys. So what to speak of us? We think Krishna is just an ordinary person. Okay, so we'll leave it here. So you have any questions or comments on this verse? Bhagavad Gita, another place, Krishna says that I am the Father. He says in the 10th chapter, Yat chapi sarva bhutanam bijam tad aham arjuna natad asti vina yatsyan maya bhutam characharam. He says, furthermore, Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existences. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. So in another place, Krishna is claiming to be the Father. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. Okay. Thank you very much. Granth Rajivan Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.